Here's how the demo sounds according to Wired.
I have some context on your background based on your LinkedIn. Can you tell me a bit about your experience at WDB at Berkeley?
Okay, so that was the cartoon character asking the Zoom call guy, and then here's the answer.
Yeah, at WDB at Berkeley, I developed two full-stack web applications with my peers at Berkeley, and we mainly worked on Node.js as the tech stacks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds so sincere.
It's so nice that he says that.
Nice.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
And a good morning to you, Eric, along with Michelle Richards. Michelle, coming back another day. How about that?
Hello, hello.
Thanks for returning. Debbie Lasga is out. Mike Spaulding's got our roads today. Thank you, Mike. Adam Roberts is here. And Greg Pancake Hill doing the yeoman work as well today, doing sports and producing and also getting us drinks and massaging us as well. So thank you, Greg, for all of that. Lots to get to this morning. Much more on what happened in Wauwatosa on Monday night. We'll do that at 6:20. But first this, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, now in the Middle East, says the UN Security Council's vote in favor of a U.S.-backed proposal for a ceasefire in Gaza has made it clear that the world supports the plan. He is again calling on Hamas to accept this deal. Lots of questions, though, as to whether or not that will happen on either side. But Blinken talking.
Well, first, what the proposal does is it brings an immediate ceasefire. And it commits the parties to negotiate an enduring ceasefire.
So oftentimes we'll hear about a ceasefire, but then there's more talk of whether or not both sides are even interested in it. Blinken was asked if Israel is on board.
Did you get an explicit assurance that he would, if Hamas accepts the proposal that's on the table, that the deal is done, that he reciprocally or he continues his support for it, that that will clinch things?
Yes.
He's referring to Benjamin Netanyahu there, and Blinken says yes, that he is in favor of it. We'll see how this goes. Meanwhile, here come the tents. They're back. Anti-Israel protesters set up a new encampment on UCLA's campus on Monday, leading police to clear the area. 25 people arrested as they clear that area quickly in UCLA. We'll see if they come back, but the tents returned at least for an hour or two in California. It is 6:14. Brewers get back to their winning ways and much, much more with Greg Hill in sports next.
Now time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All sports desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, Brewers back at it. They're at home opening up a three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays at AmFam Field. A welcome opening at that. You know, believe it or not, it's been 5 games since the Brewers have done this. The streak broken, courtesy of Jackson Churio.
The pitch, breaking ball, hammered out towards left. Going back is Schneider. Onto the track, wall gone! Jackson Churio, his 7th home run of the season, and it ties this game at 1.
Lane Grindle on the call. That would be the tying run in the 3rd. Willie Adames would also hit another dinger in the 4th for his 10th of the year. And the crew take the first game against the Blue Jays 3-1 the final. Now here's your stat of the day. The Brewers are 13-11. That's an MLB best record of games where they do not hit a home run. Manager Pat Murphy, a fan of the long ball.
I like it when we hit them, though.
Yeah, Skip, we do too. All right, hold on. Here's the full quote.
I like it when we hit them, though. I'm not trying to promote not hitting homers, that's for sure.
I mean, it's solid philosophy how to run a baseball club. I don't know nothing, but I know that.
But if you can win without them,
indeed, more power to you. A valuable skill, because if you don't remember what, 3-4 seasons ago, that's all they could do, and you couldn't hit the small ball. Like, runners in scoring position was always a big bugaboo. Anyway, Brewers in good shape. They take on the Blue Jays for game 2 of the series tonight. Brewers warm up right here on WTMJ at 6. First pitch set for 7:10.
And Pat Murphy joins us for Brewers 360 today at 7:45.
It's like you can see my script. Mm-hmm. And a warm welcome back to this guy.
For the jam! Wow.
told you he was a slam dunk waiting to happen.
Yeah, watch your backboards. Darvin Ham is back on the Bucks coaching staff, signing onto the Doc Rivers staff as an assistant coach. Ham played with the Bucks from 99 to 2002, won a championship as an assistant with Mike Budenholzer. Ham was most recently the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. He coached the Lakers the last two seasons. Welcome back, Ham Slim.
So, to get into the weeds on this for just a half a sec.
Let's do it.
There was a lot of celebrating yesterday. A lot of celebrating on Monday that Darvin Ham Slam, which was coming back. Is this really that big of a deal when an assistant coach returns to a team?
So otherwise I'd say no, but if you look at some tea leaves, he did have an opportunity to join Mike Budenholzer, who is in Phoenix, and he did not. Now, whether that was Budenholzer's call or not, he did not join that team. He came back to the Bucks to coach with Doc Rivers. So how much impact does an assistant coach make? I'm not sure. The argument we can make there is how much does a bench coach make? Pat Murphy, now the manager of the Brewers. You know what I mean? Like, ooh, there is a path. There's some linear kind of connections you can make. There's a path to a head coaching position.
All right, Greg, thank you very much. It is 6:19, so are they closing the middle schools or not? That story next. In Wauwatosa, school board meeting held Monday night. Much of the discussion on what to do with Longfellow and Whitman middle schools. Now, you heard late last week and also on Monday that the school district at least floated an idea from the superintendent to shut down those two middle schools. The sixth graders would relocate to elementary school facilities, and the seventh and eighth graders would be placed in separate wings of the high schools, east and west. So that was kind of floated out there. And it basically, the district says deferred maintenance costs is like $150 million across the district. So this would help them save like $30 million to not even have to deal with deferred maintenance on these two schools if you just shut them down. Now, by the way, we should also point out, Michelle, this isn't going to happen overnight. It'd be several years. I think 2029, 2030 would be the school year that they would actually start this process. And we're a long way from it. It's not like anything was decided on Monday night either. But parents did come up because there were some concerns, not only for these middle schools, but also the potential for STEM programs to change or be ending, Spanish classes, and then, of course, some referendums as well. So here's what Superintendent Damon Means said. He was sharing the TOSA 2075, as they call it, TOSA 2075. And among the new learning model was this plan to close Longfellow and Whitman middle schools.
There's a lot that we have been asked to try to untangle, be it from legacy systems that have been left to us before we arrived. And now we're trying to make sure that everyone has access to fair programming, to making sure that every family has a voice, to ensuring that we have enough funds to educate and to compensate teachers. That's where we are. And so I appreciate the comment. That's just a reaction I have.
We did reach out to the superintendent's office and did not hear back on Monday, hoping to get him on the program. Voters are also going to be asked for $48 million in operational expenses in a referendum that the school board will consider as well. Really, the idea of, I completely can understand where parents are coming from, those who are confused by this idea of shutting down two middle schools, going back, if you will, to a K through six. I mean, I get that. And there is clearly some concern of mixing seventh and eighth graders with high schoolers, which, again, I don't know if that would be entirely what they would try to do. I think they would be in the same facility, but the opportunity would be to try to separate them and not have them walking the same halls or in the same classes by any means.
Right, because obviously there's a huge difference between right. what kids are going through in seventh and eighth grade versus when they're a senior in high school.
Right, right, right. TMJ4's Megan Lee was there.
All right, something important to note here is that these are all recommendations. The board was asking questions to the superintendent. So as of right now, these are all recommendations. The board will actually have to decide on the future of the district by August of this year, so just a few months away. As far as that $48 million referendum goes, they will be voting on that next week, and that could be on the November ballot.
Yeah, so the $48 million operational expenses referendum could be on the ballot potentially this November, but as you heard Megan say there, it'd be August before any decision is made on whether or not they close the middle schools. Now that's what you call a gem. Sports at 6:45.
It seems like a dream come true, living and working overseas. And after COVID, more Americans are doing this.
Taking off for a faraway land and staying there for an extended time is increasing in popularity. A new study from the site Places to Travel finds Google searches for digital nomad visas have soared more than 1,100% this year. Italy launched its digital nomad visa in April. It requires workers to make over $30,000 a year and show proof of health insurance, accommodation, and remote work elsewhere for at least 6 months. More than 50 countries around the world now offer digital nomad visas. Wendy Gillette, CBS News.
So how long can you stay out?
I'm sure there's a time frame. You know, visas normally have an end to them, right?
All right. So where would you go if you could work off-site?
Well, Italy sounds great.
Italy? Yeah.
Anywhere tropical, unless it's hurricane season. No, I knew a guy who did this.
Is that right?
Yeah, a guy during COVID packed up his family, moved to the Bahamas. Both he and his wife.
That's awesome.
Worked remotely and just hung out on the beach for a year.
But where do you, I mean, that sounds expensive though. Isn't that expensive?
It's probably cheaper.
Yeah, but depending on where you, I guess you're not living in a resort, I suppose.
Right. I don't know where he lived, where they lived. Probably some sort of a, I don't know, a rental perhaps.
Where would you go? I think I'd probably go like BVI's or something like that. Okay. Something in the Caribbean for sure. Absolutely. Panama, maybe. I don't know.
Right now it would be hard with kids and all their activities, but back during COVID when everything was shut down.
They got kids in those countries too. They can have friends with them.
Exactly.
6:39. As we move toward artificial intelligence taking over more and more things, Michelle, an AI cartoon may interview you for your next job. And actually, you have some experience with this. I got to ask you about this. Wired has this story. As if trying to land a new gig isn't demoralizing enough, job seekers are meeting with characters powered by generative AI who are capable of meeting candidates to judge their skills, multiple candidates. So basically, it's a way to like avoid having a manager or an HR rep do the interview. You basically are doing a Zoom call with an artificial intelligent character slash cartoon character who will ask you the same questions and then record your responses. Mm-hmm. Here's how the demo sounds, according to Wired.
I have some context on your background based on your LinkedIn. Can you tell me a bit about your experience at WDB at Berkeley?
Okay, so that was the cartoon character asking the Zoom call guy, and then here's the answer.
Yeah, at WDB at Berkeley, I developed two full-stack web applications with my peers at Berkeley, and we mainly worked on Node.js as the tech stacks.
Yeah.
Nice.
Sounds so sincere.
It's so nice that he says that.
Nice.
All right. So, yeah. So, essentially, that's how it works. If you think this is crazy, you're right. However, you've already been interviewed kind of like this, right? You've done an interview where you weren't talking to a character, but...
No, I had... It was an app that I had to put on my phone, and I basically had to turn on my video and respond to questions that were just prompted on the screen. Now, I could practice as many times as I wanted to, but once you were in like the final interview, once you clicked record or accept or whatever, then that was it. I couldn't go back and fix any mistakes.
So you couldn't hear anything, but it would just come up as
right.
Would it change based on your answer maybe or no, not really?
Would what change?
The next question.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure, but it was definitely a random mix. So that like when I was doing the practice questions, those weren't necessarily what the interview questions were going to be.
So,
but it was just weird. I remember sitting on my couch and I had my video on and I'm like, I'm talking to myself. This is weird.
What are your salary expectations?
Yeah, so that whole idea of being interviewed by a computer sounds funny, but like you were just telling us, it's already been happening.
Tell me about your weaknesses.
You know what would be amazing though? Like, do they have bad interviewers also? Because not everyone has a good job interview, right? Like, are some of them just bad at it? Or is it possible they don't like you?
Look, I got a 1 o'clock. So, why don't we wrap this up?
That would not be good if they're talking that way to you.
Would you like a tour? Here is the break room. We get free coffee.
Oh, yeah. That's nice. Thank you. All right. So this is something that is going to happen more and more as we move into a society that all we need are the same basic canned answers, basic sand question, canned questions. And
as we look to increase in efficiency, they're saying they can interview like 30,000 candidates a month
way. That's incredible. Yeah. See, and that's the big key is that you don't have to spend your time doing it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, rate me as an interviewer.
Now, time for a sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Greg Hill.
Yeah, it was a return home for the Brewers, and it was a welcome one as they opened a 3-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays on Monday night. It was Colin Ray on the hill for the crew. Just a gem from Ray, going 7 full innings, 4 strikeouts, 3 hits, no walks, and some help from his defense.
Ray brings home the pitch, and this is line into a leaping glove. Brought down by Bryce Terang. A sensational play by a sensational second baseman.
Yes, indeed. Lane Grindle on the call. That's 2 home runs, 1 by Jackson Chourio, 1 by Willy Adames. Adames also had the go-ahead sack fly in the 6th, and the Brewers take 1st of 3 from the Blue Jays. So let's stay on the pitching conversation for a second, because guess what? The Brewers will have their 12th, count them 12, different starting pitcher to make a start this season. Rookie Carlos Rodriguez will start on the hill for the crew this evening. If you're keeping track, 95 games left to go in the season, right? The Brewers are already flirting with the 13 different starting pitchers they had in 2017 because they will hit 12 tonight.
So what are they on pace for?
12. To run the numbers. I don't know. Can you run? There's probably some analytic to that. Too smart for me. But again, not great. Now, the franchise record, this is not one to shoot for, folks. In 1969, the Brewers had 17 different starting pitchers. We're at 12, 95 games left to go.
Wow.
That's
no good.
How do you manage? And again, first in the division, too.
It's working.
The bats are working. Brewers, Blue Jays, tonight. Brewers warm up starting at 6 right here on WTMJ. First pitch scheduled for 7:10. And yes, fine. We could talk about it. In the 4th inning, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., the powerhouse hitting for the Blue Jays, was trying to do just that. Swung so hard, let go of his bat, and his bat was stuck in the netting above the 3rd base dugout, so the visiting dugout, and fans were just invested in it because yes, it took them about 4 or 5 innings to get it out of the net.
I was wondering about that, why it would take so long just to pull it out unless you don't have the time between innings.
So what's crazy is, like, this isn't really getting that much coverage. And the reason I found this was because of our old cohort, Gene Miller, was at the game. And he took a picture of this bat just suspended and everyone's looking over it. And no, this isn't a home run call. This is the sound of the crowd cheering when the bat is getting is taken down from the net. Oh my God.
They got it.
We can resume play. First in Blue Jays tonight.
6:50. Pretty incredible story. Highlighted by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Lori Nickel, who joins us on Tuesdays here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Lori, I find this very inspiring. I know you're a big runner. And you had an event just recently that I want to ask you about. But you tell the story in the paper about this marathoner who's marathoning with a new heart.
Yeah, I've never really covered anybody like this. Derek Lindstrom is 60 years old. He's from Grafton. And he has done more than 100 marathons in his lifetime. And he was ignoring kind of the warning signs, some of the things that were telling him that something was wrong. And then he finally realized he was in chronic heart failure. His heart function was at about a 6% rate, and the normal range is like between 50 and 65%. So his heart was really in bad shape. So after waiting and getting treated for many years, he finally got a new heart last December. And what's incredible isn't just that he's 60 years old and he's still running, or that he walked himself to the operating table himself. He's a little stubborn, but now he's back exercising again. He's hiking, he's walking, he's just did a cycling race. He texted me this weekend, and he has plans to do more big runs in the future. It's on the front page of the Journal Sentinel today. It's a really cool story.
Well, that's probably the best thing he can do is to keep up this level of exercise just right. to stay healthy. I mean, good for him.
In all honesty, not quite the level that he's looking at. You know, his doctor, what's really cool is that he's super motivated and he's, you know, it's almost like an obsessive trait that a lot of these endurance athletes have. And his cardiologist, Renee Corsell, who's amazing at Frederick, kind of wants him to ease into it for a year. But yes, how you take care of that precious heart, that transplant heart, the donor's heart, is so important to the success rate of the life that you get out of that heart afterwards. So him being active, boy, it's incredible just how, you know, we don't have to do marathons, but being kind of stubborn and keeping moving, it's kept him alive.
The Journal Sentinel's Lori Nichol joining us on WDTMJ. Speaking of being active, so you participated in Trek 100 recently. That's a big deal. Congratulations on your completion.
Well, that was, I'm never doing that again. No. the Trek 100 is a great race. It was a ride. It's in Waterloo. It was last weekend. It's a huge fundraiser for the MAC Fund. And I believe they just did another $1 million. Trek Bicycle Company does it top notch. The volunteers are incredible. This year is the first year they had mountain bike, of course, as well, and mountain bikers. But I'm done with the storming rain, 59 degree, 25 mile an hour wind rides. I'm just done with that. That was, you know, you're riding through country fields and there's manure everywhere and now there's rain on it and there's wheel is spitting it up and everybody's just streaked and we're like, yeah, it's mud. Sure, it's mud. So it's a great event though. I've done it 5 times. I love it. I care about it. Anybody who was out there volunteering, thank you so much. It was cool, but no more rain.
I don't know.
All for a good cause.
I don't know. You might be back. I don't know. The draw will lure you back on that bicycle, I bet.
You're coming with me, both of you guys, right?
When I go, it'll be 88 degrees and humid. That'll be the difference.
Right.
Thank you, Lori. Congratulations on your completion.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Take care, you guys.
Yeah. 6:58.